Another benefit of the kingdom of God is provision when it comes to our daily needs, food, shelter, and clothing. So it's important that we understand that, because a lot of us don't. We're anxious when it comes to financial situations. We're anxious about how we're going to make it. And so the word of God gives us encouragement, and it shows us that we don't have to be anxious and be worrying and be stressful about those things. And so the kingdom of God provides all our needs. You know, he's a God, he's our Father, and he takes care of us. So we have to accept that and believe that. And I think this is one of the biggest areas for many of us. And so this talk is all about that, knowing that God is our provider, how he provides, what we should expect from him, and everything like that. So I'm going to start in the book of Matthew, and we're going to start in chapter 6 and read from verse 19 to 33. And it says, "Lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I'm reading out of the King James Version, by the way. "The light of your body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," or money. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, where you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" But he continues on in verse 26. He says, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" And that's the problem with many of us. We don't have faith in God. We don't believe he'll take care of us. Here he is taking care of flowers and all this lesser stuff, birds. But when it comes to us, who are made in the image of God, we don't believe that God is going to take care of us. He says, it goes on 31. "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or with what shall we get clothes? Or be with clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek." And so we know that in the book of Matthew was written to the Hebrews. And so he's saying that all the Gentiles, that's what they all up on. They stuck on being anxious and worrying about all these different things that they need every day. But he says, he goes on saying, "For your heavenly Father knoweth that you need all these things." Verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So I want to start with, you know, just verse 33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So if you want God to provide for you, you need to seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. So it's two things here. So as we talked about way the beginning of this series on the kingdom of God, seeking the kingdom is basically seeking the king's dominion, seeking his way of doing things in life. That's all it is. Searching the scriptures, wanting to know how God thinks and how he feels about things, how he does things. That's it. Okay. And his righteousness, that portion of it, is seeking to be right. Seeking to be right with God, seeking to do the right things according to scripture, and actually being transformed into the image of Christ, looking like God, being righteous, walking in righteousness. So if you're doing those two things, he'll take care of your needs. That's just what's going to happen. The kingdom of God will take care of all your needs, food, shelter, and clothing, as you seek his kingdom. Now, if you say I don't care nothing about God's kingdom, I don't care about how he wants me to live, and you do things your way, and you, well, he probably not going to take care of you, because that's the stipulation here. You know, seek the kingdom first, and everything you need will be taken care of for you. So I encourage you to read this passage anytime you feel like, you know, I need, you know, and I'm struggling financially. Just focus on the kingdom of God and believe that God will take care of you. And you'll find how some money will come up, or if you needed food, somebody will drop some food off. He'll find a way to take care of you. And I got many examples in my life that where things have, where he's taken care of me in dire situations. So myself and my wife. So I want to just mention that to you, that's how you acquire the things that God, that you need. So I want to go back up top, though, in verse 19, because it said he tells us not to lay up treasures on earth and being focused on finances and stuff like that. And that's usually what happens when you don't believe God is your provider. You're too focused on taking care of yourself for the rest of your life, because you're like, well, God ain't going to take care. He may be up there, but I don't believe he take care of us. We have to work and take care of ourselves and make sure that everything is provided. And so that's not an area that he is involved in. No, he is. He is your provider. And if you don't believe that, then you're going to be your own provider, which is going to be a lot more difficult for you. And it may lead to you doing things that may be against your conscience, or putting up with abuses that you don't have to put up with, all because of money. As I mentioned the example before, people that are on their jobs dealing with racism, or they're dealing with slavery and mistreatment on the job, but they're saying, I can't give the job up because this is my income, you know. Well, sometimes you need to look at it and say, you know what, this guy has something better for me. You know, God is my provider, not this employer. So once you realize that, you can disconnect from that employer. You can start looking for something else and say, you know what, God can give me a job that ain't abusive, you know, or he can help me start our own business or something like that. We put up with this stuff because of the lack of belief in God's ability to take care of us. When Israel was freed from bondage and slavery to the Egyptians, when he was establishing and building up Israel, he was teaching them that he was their provider. When they went through the wilderness, he opened up a rock and poured water off of them. He had food come out the sky, manna, and he had some birds, I think quail and different things that just showed up. I mean, he was just showing them, look, I got you. And that's what we need to get to, a place where we just believe God. And so as we study scriptures today, we'll be able to see that, look, he wants to provide. He wants to take care of you. But you have to believe that he will do it. And we need to understand how he's going to do it, and that his standards of provision, it may not be your standard of provision. So we're going to look at all of that. But the next scripture I want to jump into is in Philippians chapter 4. And that's also another key scripture you need to go to when you feel like, you know, I need stuff, and your faith in God is dwindling. It's a place to go for encouragement as well. And I believe as you walk in God, he'll bring you to places where you end up with a testimony that he took care of you. See, I'm coming from a place where I know God took care of me. I'm not just saying, oh, would the scriptures say this? You know, I know he does that. I know he takes care of me. And it's freed me up from having to submit to certain people, groups, doing different things that I don't necessarily have to do, because I know he's going to take care. And my employer is not my provider. The government is not my provider. God is. But I just want to dig into scripture and show you how scripture encourages us. And we just need to believe what's going on. So here's an account from Paul. He's writing a letter to the Philippians, the church in Philippi. I'm going to just start in verse 6 of chapter 4. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The word here, be careful for nothing, means that don't be anxious, is what he's saying. Now, when you look up the word anxious, you get this definition: experiencing worry, unease, or nervousness, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome, or wanting something very much, typically with a feeling of unease. So that's what it's all about. And we all have experienced this when it came to money. Check the income on time, how I'm going to pay the rent, not have enough food to eat, fearful of being on the street and not having shelter. These are all things that come across your mind when finances are low. In other cultures where there's, you know, they're eating every day. I mean, they're living day to day to eat. This can be a anxiety where, you know, when I'm gonna get food, when I'm gonna have shelter, when I'm gonna have, you know, clothing. Just like he mentioned in Matthew, this is anxiety. And God is saying to us, don't have anxiety. Don't worry. You know, so on some level, I would say it's a sin almost to say, to be worrying and just be stressed out about this, because the fact of the matter is you have an almighty God that's your provider. He has all resources available at his disposal at any time to give you. So why are you tripping? The reason why you're tripping is because you don't know God's provision. You don't believe that. And we've all been taught that we have to take care of ourselves. They'll tell you as a young age, okay, you young now, but when you get old enough, it's on you now. You know, you got your job, you're going to take care of you. And you've been raised to believe that you got to take care of you. That's not what the Bible teaches. God says, I will take care of you. I will provide your food, shelter, and clothing. It doesn't mean you just sit around and food and clothing fall out the sky, but he will maneuver things in this world because he owns everything, even the wicked. He will maneuver things in this world to give you what you need at the proper time. So we need to believe scripture and receive from God. And so let's continue on in this passages here. It goes on. Let me read that verse again. Verse 6 of Philippians. It says, of chapter 4, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So if you need something, ask God for it. Now, it's other scriptures saying God already knows what you need. But if you believe that God is your provider, ask your Father for what you need. If you don't, you're not going to pray about what you need. You're going to just try to go get it your way. But he said, look, make your request known to God. God, I need some food. I need some money. I need to fix this and that. I need a new this or that. And if it's in his will, he'll provide it for you. You know, Jesus said that. Pray according to his will. He'll give it to you. So, like I said, as I go forward, I'm going to show you how a lot of our requests are beyond what we need. It's a standard of living that is beyond what we actually need. And so we end up asking for stuff that he usually don't give us and then be upset about it. But he's saying here, don't be anxious, but in everything, have prayer and supplication and thanksgiving for the request and make those requests known to God. So he's saying, don't be anxious. Pray to God about what you need. Be thankful for what you already have. He says, and with thanksgiving. So be thankful for what you already have. Some people are not thankful. And then they ask for God for more. They ain't thankful for what they already got. You know, a lot of people don't walk around in thanksgiving. That's why they don't have nothing. Because they always looking at what somebody else got. And I want a yacht and I want a big mansion. But weren't you happy with the house you got? Well, I want a BMW when you driving a car that work all right. You're not thankful. You be thankful that you got wheels and you have to take the bus. You know, some people are thankful that they can walk and get on a bus. You know, some people are in a wheelchair and they just like, well, I'm glad I got a wheelchair. I can't walk with it. You know, there's levels of thankfulness. And unfortunately, a lot of people are not thankful for what they have. They don't just sit and say, you know what? I got this and I should be thankful. And so God looks at your hearts. I don't like folk that's not thankful. I'm not giving you nothing. And if you're in the kingdom of God and you're not thankful, he's not going to provide for you. I don't think he will. That's what he's saying here. He's saying to be thankful. So we need to be thankful. The other thing is make the request known to God. Tell God. You don't need to tell everybody. You have to go going and always asking people for stuff. Ask God about it. He'll make sure that he gives it to you. So you don't have to go around telling everybody. You know, one of the first things I do when I have a need or I have a problem in any area, I start telling my Father about it. Father, you know, this is happening right now. And I'm just letting you know about it. I know you can do something about it. And then before I know it, circumstances are maneuvered to where that problem is taken care of. And so I encourage you all to go to God first. Don't look at man as your salvation, because they'll fail you. If you're looking at the people to fix your problems, you're gonna be disappointed. So I would encourage you all to pray to God first. Ask him about it. Just let them know. And when you're doing this, you're saying, I believe that you can take care of this. when people don't pray and talk to God about what they need, because they don't believe he's a provider, he can supply all their needs. And so we need to be people that trust God and believe God, and it'll come out through your prayer. The fact that you talking to him about it first shows your faith in God and that you believe that he can take care of you. So we need to do that. And that's the command there. Verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So you want to get rid of all the anxiety? Tell God about it. Tell God about what you need. Now you got the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And I know that peace. There's a lot of people scared, they upset, they anxious about making this payment or that rent. And I've been there. I've been that person. But I now have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. I'm like, man, people looking at your peace, like, how you peaceful and your rent due and you ain't got no money? How you peaceful, but you only got X amount of dollars for this week? If anybody was looking at that financial statement, they were like, man, you ain't going to make it. But I got peace. How come? Because I got my Father, and I know he's going to take care of it. I don't have to have all the money right now. I don't have to have a projected outcome or income, rather, of known, okay, I know I'm going to have X amount of dollars for this month and next month and all this. I don't have to have that. I can have just enough for the week and not stress about next week, because I know God will provide next week and the week after that. But it's because I, as he says in scripture here, I pray to him. I'm thankful for what I already have, and I make my request known to God. See, he got you. If you believe him, he got you. Other words, you're going to be stressed off and upset and have a migraine headed, stressed out, full of anxiety because you don't trust God. You trust yourself. And that's the problem with a lot of people. They trust in themselves. So when you trust in yourself and you see how weak you are, that's why you're stressing, because you ain't got it. So anyway, if you want to get rid of stress and anxiety about money, pray to God about your request. Be thankful what you already have, and he'll take care of you. You know, and the truth is this, but I have an almighty God that has all these resources. Why am I stressing? If you can believe that, you'll be all right and you'll have the peace of God, and your heart will be kept. You know, and he says he will keep your hearts and your minds. You will not lose your mind about the rent being due. And this is, you can apply this to everything. He says, be anxious for nothing. Now, this is just regarding finances, but you can apply this to everything. Your children. You got some young children that's growing old and they going out by themselves now and they with their friends. And you stressing about them being out there. You know, You can't be out here anxious about them. You can't be anxious about stuff like this. God is in control. Do you believe that your Father is in control? Okay. Then you can let that go and give it to him and go on about your business. Sleep tight at night. So that's what that's about. Let's continue on. Verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, with whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think of these things. So that's just how to keep your mind straight. He's saying, look, focus on positivity. Don't focus on needs and what might happen if this and that goes out, and if you don't have this and this, that provision is. Look, man, keep your mind on positive things. God got this. But we have to believe that. And it only takes usually circumstances where you fall off and then he picks you back up to show you, I had you. I got you. You know, you're still here. Oh, you lost your apartment. You're still here, though, aren't you? Oh, you lost your home. You don't have that now. You're still here, don't you? Oh, you don't have no money, but you're eating right now. Oh, how is that possible? Because I got you. You see, it's just pretty much how it works. I think for some of us, he takes us through that. For some of us, we got enough faith and that we believe and we don't have to experience that. But I think most of us experience that, where we end up in those situations where we feel all the way off. And yet we're still there. We're still moving. You know, some people would commit suicide if they were in some of our conditions. You know, like some of these wealthy bankers, specifically some who play the stock market, they'll look at projections. And then I've read stories about this, and they find out they ain't gonna have no money. And it's not like they not gonna have no money. It's just their level of financial strength is gonna be low. And they think that it's never gonna change. They end up jumping out of windows. You hear these, I read these stories. What are these dudes doing jumping out window? They still got like $100K in the bank or something. You got $100,000 in the bank, but because you're not a billionaire anymore, and that's all you have to your name because the stock market dropped and you lost all this stuff, you committing suicide? What's wrong with you, man? But they don't have the peace of God because God is not their provider. So people will look at you strange when you in the condition that you're in, but yet you still floating. And you should have drowned a long time ago, but God got you. You know, God is the boat. God is the ark. He keeping us afloat while everybody else is drowning in anxiety and all this other stuff. Verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and God of peace shall be with you. He's just talking to the Philippians that to follow him, you know, as he follows Christ. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me have flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. This verse here, if you read it in different versions, it'll be more clearer. Basically, they was the only church that was helping out Paul financially. The other churches didn't want to help him initially because of who he was. They ain't send no money to Paul. He made needs. I ain't giving him nothing. That's how it was. The church didn't give him nothing. But the Philippians were like the only people that helped him out. So he's saying, I appreciate y'all doing that. And then sometimes y'all wanted to, but y'all couldn't. You know, y'all did, you know, between letters, they want to help him, but they couldn't, whatever, financially. So he's saying, look, I appreciate all that. Verse 11, it says, now that I speak in respect of want, not that I speak in respect of want. So basically saying, look, I don't need nothing. I'm not saying that I need anything right now. For I have learned in whatever state I am, whatever, to be content. So verse 12, it says, I know both how to be abased or low and humble, and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So he says he's been able to be content when he's been hungry and when he's had abundance of food or shelter, clothing, you name it, whatever the needs were. If he had an abundance, he was content with that. If he had lack, he was content with that because he understood God was in control of that. And we're going to show you how sometimes God's pulled back everything where you're just hungry and you're like, why is this happening to me, God? I'm your child, this, that, and the other. But he's doing it for a reason. In instances like that, we have to learn to be content. It's a maturity thing. You'll get to the place where you're content with less, nothing at all, and then an abundance, you know, and there are periods of time. And it's all the work of God. See, we have these belief systems that we're supposed to be at a certain level and so stay there. No, God may take all that. And then like Job had a bunch of stuff and God took it. He allowed Satan to take it, rather. You know, it's a reason behind that. And we're going to show you some of those reasons. But the bottom line is be content, learn to be content. And I'm learning to be content in any instance, whether it's abundance or whether it's lack. And I'm still learning and growing, but the scriptures encourage me and I hope they encourage you. Verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So even if you got an abundance or you got nothing, he will strengthen you regardless of the situation. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Christ will strengthen you. You can do it. Verse 14 said, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So like I said before, that's what happened early on in his ministry. They weren't giving him anything but except this church here. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. That's when he was in Thessalonica. They sent things that he needed. In verse 17, it says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So he's just saying, look, I don't need nothing in this letter. I'm just saying, I thank you for what you guys did. I pray to God bless you for what you've done. Verse 18, it says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus, I can't pronounce that name right now, the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell and sacrifice, accepting, well-pleasing to God. So he's receiving gifts and he's distributing them. And in this case, from somebody else whose name I can't pronounce right now. Verse 19, it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's the key scripture there. Another key one. You feel like you in lack and need? No, no, no. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. In this case, he's telling them that God got you just like he got me. He got you. So the rest of the letter just is, ends in salutations and, you know, bless the Father, glory to God and Jesus Christ, and so forth and so forth. But our God shall supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. This is the only guy that does that. Allah don't take care of people like that. Okay? Buddha don't take care of people like that. Krishna don't take care of people like that. All these other false gods don't take care of people like that. They have to be on their own. But our God takes care of us. And I got, you know, like I said, I've done the testimonies about it. And one day I'll probably share them. So that's what the word of God says to us. And if we believe the word, that'll keep us from being anxious and stressed out. But if we don't believe God's word, five things are going to happen to us. If you look at your life right now, you can see these five different things. Once again, number one, you have anxiety and stress. You don't believe God's, and you're your own God. You got to take care of yourself. So you're going to be anxious and stressful about that because you have limited resources. You don't know the future. And so you're stripped out about that. And that's normal for somebody who don't know God or don't believe that God can take care of them in that area. Another one, number two, if you don't believe God is your provider, you will put up with abuse that you don't have to. So some people are on a job where they're being mistreated through racism, or they're just being abused by the job itself. They're being overworked, yelled at and screamed at, getting very little pay. And they're saying to themselves, if I give up this job, I won't have money to take care of the rent and food and shelter and all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to make it. What that person is really saying is my employer, the corporation that is employing me, is my God. You know, Walmart takes care of me. You know, whatever the company is, that company takes care of me, not God. And so they're bound to putting up with abuse on that job. Like a lot of black folks or Hebrew Israelites, they're on these jobs dealing with racism, and they're accepting it, sitting up under it, and letting it destroy their souls. And they're saying to themselves, I have to work here because this is the only thing I can do. Letting white folks beat them up every day. And they're saying, look, I have to do this. I have to accept this because they take care of me, basically. They're my God. They're providing for me. You know, and it takes a lot to get to a place where you can break away from them. And in some instances, like I said, you may not have a lot when you leave those companies and start your own business and the struggles with starting your own business and things of that nature. But it helps your soul because you don't have to deal with that abuse anymore, and you can grow and be a better person. But if you continue to believe that God is not your provider in that area, that he doesn't take care of that, and your employer is, you're going to continue to accept abuse. Number three. If you don't believe God is your provider, you will hustle harder and money will become your God. So a lot of people, you know, they not going to be starving. They're not going to have some whack car or whatever. They're going to have the best stuff ever. And it's because they hustle hard. It may be legitimate what they're doing, but they always trying to get that money to the point that they serve money. Money is their God. Just like the Gentiles, as he mentioned in the book of Matthew. They seek after this stuff. They always, you know, they chasing treasures and they be building stuff. And they're chasing money because money it's become their God, because they know that money brings comfort and stuff like that. So they're always chasing that, and it becomes their God to where now they are a slave to it. There's some people working four or five jobs. And we credit them and say, he's a good person. He's working hard. When in fact, he's not even there home for his children, to take care of his children. Because he's working all the time. Okay? He barely got a life because he's working all the time. But he's a good man because he's taking care. No, 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 no. That brother there is a slave. And he's being beat down because he's hustling. You know, he don't trust God to take care. So he's not allowing God to provide. And so he's holding the weight of something God should be taking care of. You see? A lot of people, they really give credit to these people. They say, oh, you're a hustler. And they give them props for that. So-and-so got four jobs, and he's working nonstop, and he's going, and we applaud that. Now, I applaud a man taking care of his family. You're supposed to do that. But not the at the expense of your soul, not to the point to where you hurting yourself. You see, and that man may be saying, no, I got this, but he ain't, like I said, he's barely at home to even take care of his children, to spend time with his children, because he's always at the job, from job to job to job to job to job. When he, if he would just submit to God and say, Father, how can this be done a little better? I'm being a slave right now. My back is being broken by all of this just to take care. How can we, what can you do for me, God? Because I want to serve you. I want to be part of your kingdom. And I know your kingdom is not burdensome. We read in the Bible a couple talks back that Christ, he does not give us heavy burdens. So why you got this heavy burden on your job? Why you got 8 jobs on your back, man? Because you don't trust God. You trust yourself. And now you got to take on that weight. And you about to break. You're not available for your children at home. And this goes to women, too. These single mothers that they may be on Section 8 or some other thing. And they got 3 jobs. Woman, you too. You got to get to God about that. That is not what God's will for you. I got to do this. No. The system told you got to do that. God said, I'll make your burden light. I'll take care of you. And there's so much to talk about how to do all of this, but I just want to give you the starting point. God will work it out in your life if you believe him. So I had to deal with that hustling thing because a lot of people want to give props to people like that. And I don't get no props to that. I don't. I know they slaves. I know that they're slaves to money. And I don't get no props to that. I can see right through that. But I had to call that out. Number 4, you become stingy and selfish with money. Because the very little you get, you feel like it's scarce. Because God is not your provider. The little money that you do get, you won't give it to nobody else. Because you're like, I can't help nobody. I got to be self-centered because the money is so tight. I just can't, you know. And we understand that, you know, you don't give to everybody. You got to give by the Spirit and all that kind of stuff. Because some people are out here scamming and they really don't need. And so we've seen that. But when we get to a place where God is our provider, we'll find that. And we've known this before. We've known older black women in the church that they're not doing that well financially, but they was giving anyway. You know, they may be a grandmother, somebody who has some little bit of change. They gave you something. Why? Because they knew that God's going to provide it later on. And they had faith in God. We got to be like that. Believe in God. And even though we don't have like a projected amount of money for the whole month, we know that he takes care of us. And if God is leading us to give to that person, we can give to that person. And that's basically how the church works. As you see here, Paul was being provided by the church. The church takes care of one another. And if we all believe in God as our provider, guess what's going to happen? All our resources will be available for one another when they need it. And that's how the church is be able to flourish. Anytime you can go into the church and say, look, I need this, I need that. They got you because everybody's provided because they know that I'm not going to lose nothing by giving you this because God is my provider. He has an unlimited supply. And so we giving and we giving and we giving. And so we're able to receive and then give and give. And it's just a cycle of people being provided for. But when you don't believe that God is your provider, you're stingy, you're self-centered. And that's why churches don't. When it comes to those kind of things, they may be very tight when it comes to money. So, and I've seen a lot of churches, specifically the leaders, they'll get somebody else's money to give to you. They won't give you money out of their own pocket. They'll create a fund. This is one, for instance, Joel Osteen. This was the story. The hurricane hit in his area. Instead of, you know, setting up something to help the people out of their own finances, they set up a fund on their site and say, give us money so we can give money to the people who are in need, you know, in this hurricane. They eventually opened their church and provided it, but you had to give me more money when they already got money. Joel already has money. The church already has a treasury. Pull out of that and give. No, give me some money. Congregants, give me money. People who already donate to different disaster causes, give me your money so I can give the money to the other people. I'm not giving my money to these people. You see, that's selfishness because that man don't believe in God to provide for him. He's used to swindling people and ripping them off, telling them God's going to, you know, bless them if you give me money. And so that's the last thing. Number 5, you don't believe God is your provider. You will rip people off financially to get money. Just like pimp preachers do today. They in a pulpit telling you need to give them money. and how much you need to give to them, but they don't, you know, they're not giving it back to you. They're not pushing it back to the community. And it's because they believe that God is not their provider. They believe their hustle is their provider. Their ability to manipulate the people to get the money is their provider. Creflo Dollar, with the funny last name, I mean, just it's ironic his last name is Dollar. That guy teaching that prosperity gospel, he don't believe God is his provider. He believes really deep down, if I can manipulate people enough and use scriptures to support, you know, to give, I can get as much money as I can. You know, and that's where his faith is in. His faith is in his ability to manipulate people and to pimp people, not in what God can do. So I wanted to share all that just so that we understand when we don't have faith. And so if we see these things that we're doing, and all of us have done it at some point, we got to repent and say, God, forgive me for thinking these ways, being anxious about money, hustling and breaking my back to get money, putting up with abuse on a job, being stingy and selfish, and then, unfortunately for some people, stealing money, manipulating people out of their finances. So, as I, you know, said before, God has grown me in this area. I've been homeless many times without food for long periods of day, some up to weeks, 4 days here and there. And it's been hard, but God has shown me that he's a provider. And so I want to say this about how he provides, because as I alluded to a couple times already, it doesn't mean that you'll have the best food, clothing, and shelter. If you're comparing yourself to the standards of American culture, you may not be on that standard. You may not have your own house and have, you know, the food that you want as far as what you want to eat, and, you know, high-priced food or, you know, whatever level you think you're supposed to be at, you may not get that. You can't say to God, well, God's not providing for me. No, he is. If you have food in your belly, if you have shelter, whether that be a car, a little shack, a small house, or even a facility that a church owns that they allow you to come into for 30 days or 90 days because you don't have your own home, that's shelter. God is saying, I'm taking care of you. It may not be the way you want it or the standard of living the way America has portrayed it is that you're supposed to be, because America says you're supposed to have your own home, your own car, and that's your standard. If you fall from that, you something wrong with you. And God is saying, look, that's a standard that's in America. He said, I'm taking care of your needs. When you compare America to third world countries, to most of the countries on the face of the earth, they don't have all that. They live in little huts and shelters and stuff like that. And that's sufficient for them. And that's sufficient for you. And you think, you say, no, I got to have this. No, you used to that. And God is going to break you from that if you used to that. Because that's also, it's also a humbling thing. Because a lot of us, when we have all that, we don't understand the lack from other people. And so it has to happen for some of us, you know. And I would say that primarily, I think everybody in America has to experience that, you know, having, being homeless or something on some level, because, or not having, because this is a higher standard. We're actually on a platform in America. The poorest person in America ain't poor compared to the people in other countries. You see? So we have to understand that what we consider to be our needs met may be too high beyond what God is really going to provide for us. Okay. But like I said, and just like Paul said, sometimes there's an abundance. Sometimes there is a period of lack or hunger. So you may be in one day, you know, one span in your life, you may have a home. Then one area of your life, you may not have a home, you know, and it's because of what God is doing in your life. So that means that your living condition could be a car. It could be a shack. It could be a shelter or a small house. Your food. It could be, you know, canned goods instead of what you used to eating. You know, it could be dry foods or things of that nature. Government assistance could be providing you for your food. This is God taking care of you. And you say, well, I don't like that because everybody else is getting this and I'm getting that. But are you provided for? Do you have food in your belly? Do you have shelter? Okay. I live in my car. So is that shelter? Yes. You ain't in the rain, are you? You see, he's providing, yet you going by based off of the rest of the standards in the world. So we can't be that way. So I want to deal with the question that you may have. And I've had this question. I say, God, you could do better than this. I mean, I'm your child. All these other people don't even serve you, and they got stuff. And how come I'm living below them? Well, as I said before, most of our standards are beyond necessity. So American living is rich beyond, you know, in compared to other countries. So if you think you deserve to meet the American standard of living, you're mistaken. And so you got to get that out of your mind. If you get to that place and you start thinking that way, you're going to be disappointed. And so, you know, I had to learn that myself. Low living humbles us and it tests us. First, you know, if you're humble, you always look down on other people who had less. Well, now, guess what? Now you're living down with them. Now you get to see them for who they are, that they really not that bad people. You know, if you had a problem with arrogance or in that case. For other people, it tests you when you're living low to see if you're going to serve God with little or only when you have a lot. So God will test you. Okay, I'm going to drop all your finances. You barely got this and that. You certainly don't compare to the rest of American standards. You're down there. You're homeless, what they consider homelessness. You're living in the poverty line. Are you going to still serve me? Are you going to still do my will? This was the question that the word that Satan gave to God when it came to Job. He said, Job only served you because he got all that stuff that you gave him. If you take it away, he ain't going to serve you. You know, and that's the same thing that could be happening to you or us in certain instances where our finances are taken away, where we're in a condition where we don't have a lot or we have barely just enough to make it or whatever. God is testing us. You know, are you still going to serve me? And if you pass it, great. Be content with that, like Paul was. Be content. My father desires that I have just this. I'm going to be happy with that. If he desires for me to have a mansion and all this extra stuff, I'm going to be happy with that. But I'm never going to get attached to it because he could take it. So we got to be content in any situation. But those are some of the reasons for why we may feel like why we don't have all this and that. Because he's testing us or he's humbling us. Okay. And to give you some more examples, he did his own people like this. And you go back, you know, God seemed to have his servants living low in certain instances. Yeah, we know Abraham had a lot of money. We know a few other Israelites and different people groups that had a lot. But then you look at the Son of God, the Messiah himself. Jesus said, says one guy, the guy was like, hey, you know, I want to follow you, God. And, you know, Jesus, he says, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And I'll put the scripture reference in the article notes on the site, but this is what he told the guy. And we do read in other scriptures that he did have a house at some point, but at this point he didn't. So, like I said, he had an abundance at some point and he had lack at some other points. Okay, there's another instance in scripture where Jesus preached a sermon and then nobody asked him, hey, where you going to sleep at night, Jesus? And he just slept in the woods or the mountains, rather. God the Father got his son, the Son of God, the Messiah, his only begotten son sleeping in the mountains. The Son of God walking around, don't have a house, got to live. He got to sleep over in your house tonight, in another person's house tonight. Come on now, God. That's how God's doing it. You know what I'm saying? This is a training ground for us. You know, we're going to have mansions and everything we need beyond in everything. We're going to be living well off in the kingdom of God when it comes down to earth and when we are in the heavenlies. So, you know, that's when it's coming. So we can't get caught up in what we want now and all this lavish lifestyle and what we supposed to have and stuff like that. Because we have instances here where God's own faithful servants, Jesus Christ himself, Yeshua himself, the Messiah, the Son of God, is sleeping in the mountains. Okay? He don't have his own home. He got to rest in your house this night and rest in somebody else's house the next night. You look at that and say, man, that's kind of crazy. God got him like that. But no, that's how God working. And we got to acknowledge that. The third instance is John the Baptist. The man is living in a cave. Number one, everybody else had houses. He living in the cave. On top of living in the cave, He living in the wilderness. Okay? He living in a cave in the wilderness. To add on top of that, his only food source is grasshoppers and honey. So he got to go to a bee's nest, grab some honey out of that, chop up some locusts, and then put that on and eat that. That's his food. God got him living like that. Okay? So next time you want to complain about where you at, think about John the Baptist and certain instances where God had people. But that was his faithful servant. That man was there to roll out the red carpet for Jesus Christ who was to come. And I'm not saying that we should just, you know, okay, this is how it's going to be for us. And but God is going to provide for us. Just believe that God is your provider. He's going to take care of your need. What he considered that you should have at the time, just believe that. That would relieve all this anxiousness and stress and all this kind of stuff. So that's all I got to say for this. God is our provider. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Your food, clothing, and shelter will be taken care of. I've seen it happen in my life. Even though I've had lack at times, God still provided. And those times of lack showed me that, hey, I'm not going to die. I came out of that. I've been homeless. I don't have a home, you know. Yet we still here. We still got food in our bellies. We still have shelter and clothing. And we're still able to do ministry. God will take care of you. It just may be not be the way you want it to be. But I just want you to understand, if you put your faith in God, believe that he will supply all your needs. Don't be anxious. He says to be thankful for what you have. You'll be taken care of. You know, and I've seen it happen multiple times in my life. So I encourage you all, trust God, believe God in this area. Most people don't. Like I said, a lot of people are hustling. They're taking care of themselves. They're doing whatever's necessary, and money has become their God. And it's unfortunate. He said you can't serve two masters. And just to go a little further, as we talk about this, one of the biggest hangups towards entering into the kingdom is money. You can acquire so much that you put your faith in that and not God, and you end up not getting into the kingdom because you trust that more than God. And one of the hangups as far as tripping people up, he said that one of they get caught up in the cares of this world. And that is caring about what you need to eat, where you're going to live, and what you're going to do. That can prevent you from getting into the kingdom. So he emphasized those things because he's saying, look, if you want, I want you to be saved. I want you to make it in. But you gotta let go of your needs and how they're going to be provided for. I'm going to take care of you. Just focus on me. I got you. Let go of all the other stuff. Okay? And God's going to work things out. Like I said, a lot of people end up probably starting their own businesses. And then there's things like that. But you don't take on all of that. Just say, look, Lord, I want to follow your kingdom. And I want you to help me get to where I need to go. And he said he's faithful to finish the work he started in you. And he'll lead your life and help you to get what you need in order to make it. So just put your trust in him. And I encourage people, Philippians chapter 4, Matthew chapter 6. Those two chapters, if you meditate on those day and night, that'll keep you when it comes to financial issues. Just believe that God is your father. He's going to take care of you. So with all that said, walk in the spirit, believe God, because this is a mental battle here, you know, the battle of the mind, you know, and that's when the devil begins to talk to you, oh, you ain't gonna make it, oh my goodness, it's all over for you, and a lot of you who have never been homeless, that's what the kind of stuff is gonna be on you. It ain't that big of a deal, especially in America, being homeless, okay? There's still resources available for you for free that you ain't gonna fall off, especially if God is your provider. So it's not like you're going to die. All is lost and the world is over because you can't pay the rent and you're going to get evicted. Now, God forbid, if his will for you to stay in that home or that apartment or whatever, then, you know, he'll provide the funds and you'll keep living there. But you cannot be fearful of eviction and living on the street or living in your car or having to visit a shelter that a church erected for people who don't have homes or getting on some kind of government assistance. God is providing those things. You just don't make the government your God. You don't make the shelter your God. God is your provider. And look to seek his kingdom first, and he'll take care of your needs. So with all that said, be blessed. Walk in the spirit. If you're not born again, you don't believe you're born again, or you feel like you're not, confess all your sins, repent, and ask God to fill you with his spirit, and he will begin to grow you and you can become a mature child of God.
Thank you.